Okay, pure perception. Vajrayana. We are now talking about Vajrayana. Wait. This pure, first of all, I'd like to tell you, pure perception shouldn't be understood as a code of conduct. It's really important. It is not a rule. Unfortunately, when we teach Vajrayana, sometimes many times we use this language. As a Vajrayana practitioner, one must have pure perception to the Vajra master. One cannot have impure perception. So it sounds like it is a Vajrayana ethic. This kind of understanding should be, you know, you should try to actually go from another approach. Pure perception should be taken as a practice, not, it's like that will make things much easier. Pure perception is a practice, meaning that you have to get used to this. Meaning, at times, as a beginner, you will lose this. Of course, you are a practitioner. You should really think in this way, because you cannot expect to have a pure perception right from the beginning. Just completely, you know, pure perception. It doesn't exist. If you have that kind of expectation, it will lead you to guilt. Pure perception has caused lots of guilt feeling. Understand pure perception as a practice. This is something that you have to aspiration for. You have to practice pure perception. Again, pure perception comes when you have appetite for the emptiness. When you as a vessel can accept the idea of emptiness, pure perception is better, easier. Because understanding of emptiness is basically knowing that whatever you see, whatever you experience, is all your interpretation. It's only your perception. It doesn't exist like that in reality. That's getting very, very close to the understanding of emptiness. When you can accept that, not only intellectually, but really practically, when you can really, every time you make a judgment, if you make a point to tell yourself, but this is my own perception. You know, some people do. But this is my limited, this is my own idea. This is the way I see it. That's good. That's a very good thinking. If you can do this, not only once a week, at certain occasions, but if you can do it in every level, from the smallest level, such as a cup of, you know, tea, good tea or bad tea, to all the way of Vajra Master's appearance. But this is my perception. If you can get used to this idea, that is the pure perception. That is, or we are not talking about when you have pure perception, we have to think Vajra Master. You know, when we say we have to think him in Buddha, we are not talking about him in the golden color, extra arms, legs, third eyes. We are not talking like that. We don't have to make believe. We don't have to create a new phenomena and think that that's him and consider that as a pure perception. That's wrong. Pure perception is when you know whatever you think, especially about the Guru, is your perception. That's quite close. Very, very, very close to pure perception, Dharnam. Because accusations, blame, complain, all this will be reduced slowly, slowly, slowly. Of course, it's your perception. When there is no more blame, no more accusation, no more complaint, getting purer. And that is yeah.
Thinking that, perceiving that all things, good or bad, that you experience are the blessings of the Guru, that seems relatively quite theistic.
No.
Things like that?
Can be. Yes, all of this can be very theistic. If you don't have the emptiness understanding and if your aim is not for enlightenment. Yes, all of this. Prayers, talk offerings that we did yesterday. All of this, very theistic. That's why. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so how would, if you were applying emptiness, how would you perceive the blessings of the Guru?
What do you mean?
If you're perceiving everything that happened to you as blessings of the Guru.
Oh! I mean, I don't know your state, but I do not expect you to have, okay, for someone really, really immatured in the spiritual path, I do not expect for them to have an emptiness understanding 24 hours, no. But this is what I was talking earlier, making a hole in our head. It's like...
Is that like the horse to the donkey?
Yeah, it's like, you know, somebody gets ordination as a nun. They don't think, they don't have to think, and they don't think that I am nun 24 hours. When they sleep, for instance, they forget. But they are still a nun. And this is because they have taken that vow, isn't it? For the whatever period, whole life, 10 days, 1 month, whatever. Likewise, time to time, if we... Okay, this is what Bodhisattva vow means, actually. If you remind ourselves, my aim, my vow, my aim is to... for the enlightenment. All these perceptions are my own perception. Things like that. Then the path becomes less and less theistic. For the very, very beginners, after a while, the moment you do anything theistic, you know, seemingly theistic prayers, temples, what else, bells, incense, candles, emptiness will be there, like a shadow. And when that happens, long candles, short candles, 100 candles, one candle, half a candle, you will not really care. But right now, since the emptiness power is very small, we care. Has to be a clean candle, scented candle, stuff like that. After a while, this kind of, you know, fixation will go. Okay.
I think my problem is still, you know, after quite a long time of hanging around various gurus, that you kind of get this impression when you're starting and you read all of these books that you sit at the feet of the guru and he says, you know, go to this, go do that, go to that lake, do meditation, things like that. But maybe I wouldn't have a problem if I actually got, you know, in, like instructions or Vajra commands or something like that. I mean, at least I'd be able to disobey, you know? But the thing is that... But the thing is that instead you seem to... One kind of seems to say, you know, you go to the guru and you say, maybe I should go on an ocean liner to Alaska and hunt wolves, and the guru gives, yes, very good. And then you say, maybe I should wear red and green stockings and stand on my head. Yes, very good.
That's true. Everything. This is good.
I mean, you're sort of basically just all kind of seems to be thrown back on yourself, and you're left sort of trying to
solve
your own confusion.
Yeah, I know this very well. Do whatever you want. Good. Yeah. That's much harder than do this, do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes it feels like it's beyond one's capacity. One's kind of sort of drowning in this welter of confusion and the possibility.
I think some of your guru must be quite a cowardly. Sounds like. This guru doesn't want to get sued.
Look, I'm not pointing at my finger at anybody in particular.
What? Yeah, do whatever you like. I really recall this. I don't know who said. Yeah.
I think my point's similar to his, that we're talking about all these things where we focus on cultivating emptiness, or just as an example. But all that's quite willful. And isn't the idea more to dissipate the will and just practice, like do the works by having the practice, which is very much dependent on being instructed by a teacher?
Yes.
So probably all of us here would ask something of you in that way, would we not?
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Let's have lunch.